I think we can safely assume we've got all of the people we're going to have for today's event, and let's get started. I'd like to welcome everyone to today's Internet Seminar, What's New with Clouin, Highlights and Future Directions. Hopefully, you're all starting on slide number one, which is the title slide. My name is Jean Vallant, and I'm an environmental scientist here in the EPA's Technology Innovation Program, and I will serve as both the moderator and primary speaker for today's session. We do have several other members of the Technology Innovation Program here with me, and we do have our technical support staff who've come in from EMS who will also be on the line as well. I want to thank you all in advance for your participation today and also welcome any sort of feedback that you can provide. I'm going to move on to slide number two and start with the event. Looking at slide two, we're just going to cover some basic housekeeping rules. I'm sure that most of you have these memorized from previous Clouin events, but I'm going to run through them pretty quickly if you're new to our seminars. We ask that everyone mute their phone lines during the event to minimize disruption. And when you minimize the lines and by muting, you'll help us keep everything on track and on time by avoiding disruptions from the seminar speaker. And today, it doesn't seem like that's going to be a problem. Everyone sounds quiet, so that's great. Since we don't have to worry about anybody causing a problem on the phone lines, you guys can feel free to submit questions or provide feedback using the question mark icon that's located at the top of your screen. You can do that at any time. You don't have to wait to the appropriate Q&A sessions. I will be able to read the questions as they're submitted. You can also use that same button to report technical problems to our staff, who will then contact you as long as you provide a phone number so they can resolve any issues you might be having. So since we have a quiet audience, it should be pretty straightforward. You guys can move back and forth throughout the slides using the arrow buttons located at the top of the screen. The single right arrow will move you forward one slide. The single back or left arrow will move you back one slide. You can also use the numbered links that will show up on the left side of your screen as well. All right, I'm going to move on to the next slide, slide number three. An overview of our presentation today. In today's seminar, we're going to cover a few topics. First, I'm going to provide a brief explanation of our motivations behind the event, and then provide an overview of the Clouin website and its relationship to the EPA's Technology Innovation Program for those of you who are new to our website and services. Next, I'll highlight some recent updates to Clouin and take a break to discuss your opinions of these changes. And then we'll take a sneak peek at some future updates that we're planning for the site, and of course, taking a moment to hear what you think of these changes. We'll then move on to a similar review of the existing Clouin Internet Seminar platform, which is what we're using right now to give this session, and talk about our vision for future events. And of course, we'll take a few moments to hear last-minute comments and wrap things up. The important thing for me, though, is that there's going to be a series of very specific questions when I get to the opportunities to get your feedback, and I'd really like you guys to think about it and provide me the feedback, good or bad. We'll also have specific questions linked at the end of the event to our seminar feedback form. So we'd appreciate it if you could provide whatever information you can, because it's feedback from users like you that help us improve the website and our services. So I'm going to move on to the next slide, slide number four, motivation. Today's seminar is being hosted for a few reasons. Here at the Technology Innovation Program, we actively work to keep Clouin as one of the leading resources for hazardous waste characterization and remediation information. And we also want to be sure that when we're doing that, we're meeting the needs of your users, which are people just like those of you joining us today. During our session, I hope to be able to inform you of the recent updates to the site and listen to your comments on these changes. And unfortunately, we often make modifications, but only have a few ways to know if you, our users, have found it helpful. In prior discussions with some other users about changes, we learned that a lot of people wanted us to host events like this one, so you could actually sit down, tune in, and listen to us talk about some of the updates that we're planning for the site. You wanted to see seminars about Internet seminars, and so that's what we're trying to respond to right now. So, again, we want to make sure that you understand what we're doing and get your opinions based off of some of the changes that we're talking about. Let's move on to the next slide, slide number five, a Clouin overview. The Hazardous Waste Cleanup Information, or Clouin, website provides information about innovative treatment and site characterization technologies to hazardous waste remediation community members. It describes programs, organizations, publications, and other tools for federal and state personnel, consulting engineers, technology developers and vendors, remediation contractors, researchers, community groups, and individual citizens. Clouin is provided by the EPA's Technology Innovation Program, which is also known as the Technology Innovation and Field Services Division, which was formerly known as the Technology Innovation Office. And I can just kind of cut that alphabet soup down and basically say that TIP, or the Technology Innovation Program, is part of the EPA Superfund program. Now, by hosting CLUIN as an outside website, TIP has the power to share a wide variety of information from many sources with the public. But we do also work to maintain an EPA presence by mirroring all of the EPA content from CLUIN off of the EPA's public website, which is listed on slide 5 at epa.gov/TIO. Just to give you guys an idea of CLUIN's popularity, as of April 2007, we've had 3.2 million visitors to the site, averaging about 2,000 visits a day. Let's move on to the next slide, slide 6. CLUIN and TIP. The origin of CLUIN actually reaches back to an early electronic bulletin board system that was used in-house in the Superfund program. The CLUIN website, though, was launched in 1996 and was operated in parallel with the bulletin board system up until 1999, at which point they discontinued that service and really focused all of their energy and effort on this public interface on CLUIN, the public website. This slide actually shows you some of the major changes and events that were part of the evolution and growth of CLUIN, which was not only just the start of the public website, but launching our email newsletter, TechDirect, and actually hosting online internet seminars like this one, and that all started in the late 90s. Some of the more recent changes, which you'll see listed on the slide, include the addition of an RSS feed and podcast, which we're going to talk about in more detail later on in the seminar. But this should just kind of show you how the website and our services have grown over the last 10 years. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 7. The CLUIN site structure. This slide is really just a screenshot of CLUIN, and I guess you know what it looks like, but I want to just point out some of the various pieces of the website so that as I'm talking about some of our updates and changes, you'll understand which areas or what parts of the site I'm referring to. Specifically, when I mention the top buttons on the website, I'm referring to the orange buttons with sitemap, comments, and the search box. The left buttons are those navigational tools that show the main sections of the website, such as remediation and training. And some of the updates and features that we'll be discussing today are actually advertising accessible right from the homepage. For example, RSS and podcasts are linked on the upper right corner just below the top buttons. And, of course, I want to take the opportunity to remind you guys of that comment form, which is readily available within the top button on every page of CLUIN. And we do rely heavily upon user comments to help direct our efforts at this site. So, as I said before, I'd encourage you to take the time to submit your comments, both good and bad, whenever you're visiting the site, because that information does come back to a real person. Myself and a few other people here in the Technology Innovation Program see those comments and read them and do try to respond to them. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 8, CLUIN updates. With that overview of the website, I'm now going to cover some recent updates to CLUIN. We've made a number of changes over the past 2 years, which can be classified as either performance updates, content additions, or navigational or organizational improvements. Performance updates represent those changes that make the site easier to use or expand your access to information on CLUIN. And these changes have included the universal profile search, adding a podcast and RSS feed, incorporating a print page feature, adding a training calendar view, expanding the site-wide search engine to cover abstracts, and upgrading to a graphical version of TechDirect, our monthly newsletter. Content additions are just that. These are new focus areas and information resources that weren't previously listed on our website. And lastly, navigational or organizational changes have been made to ease your movement throughout the site and ensure that you can find information in a logical way. As we discuss these changes, I want you to keep the following questions in the back of your mind for discussion. Did you, first of all, notice the change, and second of all, was it useful for you? Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 9. All right, our first update, the universal profile search. The universal profile search was added to allow users to search through multiple databases with only one set of search criteria. Using the new universal search form, profiles and case studies from 9 different databases, including chemical oxidation, permeable reactive barriers, fractured bedrock, MTBE treatment profiles, and remediation technology demonstration projects, and those are just a few of them, are all actively searched at one time. And on this particular slide, the picture to the right shows a result screen using the new consolidated search feature. A lot of times people didn't know that information on one particular technology or one particular site or contaminant of interest might actually be located in a number of different databases. So I've tried to make it easy for you and have you search with one shot. You can, though, continue to search each individual profiles or case study database on their own with their own search engines as well. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 10. or pardon me, slide number 9. No, I was right, it was slide number 10, excuse me. The RSS feed. On slide number 10, we will talk about RSS feeds. For those of you who are unfamiliar with the acronym, it stands for Really Simple Syndication. RSS allows for quick and automatic access to new information posted on a website. And you can think of the Kluent RSS feed as sort of a real-time tech direct for the website. The RSS feed is simply a running list of new content posted to Kluent, updated in real time. RSS feeds are designated on websites using universal symbols, such as a small orange XML image, which is displayed on Kluent. You, as a user, can actually take this list and feed, hence its name, into a special reader or program called an aggregator. And these tools can be customized to do automatic searching and alerts when a particular information item is posted. There's a draft fact sheet on RSS, feed readers, and other interesting feeds, which is included at the end of today's seminar in the links to additional resources, which I think might help some of you who are new to this technology. Looking at slide number 11, we're going to take a closer look at what an RSS feed looks like. There are a few images which show up on slide 11. The first image on the right is what the Kluent RSS feed looks like in a web browser, like Firefox or Microsoft Internet Explorer. You can simply click on that link and open up the feed in any Internet browser window and look at it. And it's just simply a running list of all the updates that we've made to the website. The image, though, on the slide on the upper left, which is circled in red, shows the Kluent RSS feed as added to a personalized homepage. Many services like Google, Yahoo, and MSN allow users to customize their homepages with RSS feeds of interest, just in the same way that you can decide what news stories, movie times, sports scores, and stock quotes to display. You can also add content from any page that offers an RSS feed. So imagine that you can open up any internet browser window and readily see those Kluent updates right on your own homepage. So I have Kluent updates, Trainex updates, I have EPA news items, CNN news alerts, all of that shows up on my own customized Google homepage using RSS feeds. And as I mentioned, one added feature of RSS feed comes from the use of feed readers. And in many cases, you can actually set up special searches so that the reader will scan feeds for terms of interest, such as perchlorate or phytoremediation, and then will alert you by email or other methods when something has been posted on one of the feeds that you subscribe to. So I've listed a few other feeds of interest, things like CNN, Tips Training Exchange or Trainex feed, and as well as a link to the, I think there's over a dozen different EPA news feeds that are available. But again, as I mentioned, there's a fact sheet which will give you more information and some other suggested feeds that's available at the links to additional resources at the end of the seminar today. So I don't see any questions coming in online about RSS feeds. So at this point, I'm going to move on to the next slide, slide number 12. Kluent Updates, our podcast. In 2005, archived internet seminars on Kluent took on a new form with the development of a podcast. If you don't know what that term means, you can think about the portable popular music player devices from Apple or iPod. These devices play audio files, most commonly in the MP3 format, just like a Walkman or CD player, except the content is saved digitally. TIP recognized the value of making our internet seminars accessible and portable, so we began offering the archived events as MP3 files to download to portable music players. Now our visitors can save the audio, print the slides, and catch up on missed seminars during a flight or commute home from work. With this new format and the use of RSS, we added a podcast, which is simply a feed that lists new audio content found on Kluent. You can actually subscribe to this through iTunes. The image on the slide shows the various formats for archive seminars. So not only do you have MP3s, but we also allow you to download PowerPoint files with the audio embedded or added to these slides, or you can continue to watch it online just as the lab participants did. Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 13. Print version. This is a simple change that we made, but it was something that we had a request come in from users for it, so we were able to add it for you. This print version feature was just added last year to the main areas of Kluent. And using this link, which will show up just below the top buttons in the left corner, visitors can quickly view pages in Kluent on a format that will cleanly print on an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper. And all we do is simply remove the left and top buttons from the page. This is a pretty common feature that you'll find on most EPA.gov and other government website pages. So we put that in there so you guys can print information off cleanly. Moving to the next slide, slide 14, the training calendar update. A graphical calendar view of upcoming training opportunities was added to the new training section of Kluent in 2006. This new button for training appeared on the left navigational structure in an effort to quickly guide visitors to one of our most popular resources. With the addition of the calendar view, you can quickly see all the events scheduled for a particular month and then view details for each simply by hovering your mouse over the calendar listing. Detailed information and registration links are still provided in a scrolling list format directly below this calendar. And also on the day of each event, you will find a quick cancellation link for that particular seminar if you're unable to attend. But that same information is also contained in your seminar registration confirmation emails. But we did put that on the training calendar area, so if you have to frantically give up a spot that you've reserved, there will be a link right there that says need to cancel for this seminar. You can click on it and cancel it. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 15. I'm talking a little bit more about the training calendar updates. Since everything seems to be going more digital with our work, we actually added another option in the training calendar, which was to include ICS, or small downloadable files, that will actually electronically add the calendar or add the information to your own electronic calendar. These files, which, as I mentioned, are .ICS format, which is a standard international calendar format, and we have links for more information if you need to learn about it, are basically attached to seminar registration confirmation screens and as well available on the training calendar so that you can directly import all of the event details to Outlook, Lotus Notes, or any other electronic calendar that you're using. You should note, though, that downloading the ICS file, which is just a calendar entry for you to use, does not constitute registration. This is just a tool that we've added to help you incorporate your events into your own calendar. We've had some positive feedback that they like this feature, so we put it in. We may also use these types of little event notices and reminders to actually help indicate when there's an event that you don't have to register for. Maybe we'll just stream a radio show, and here's a little reminder that the show is going to start at this time, so you can automatically download it and add it to your calendar without cutting and pasting anything. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 16, the search abstracts update. Also in 2006, the site-wide search engine for Cluin was expanded to include additional resources on the website. Sometimes we actually have to truncate our searches because there's just so much material there, and we don't want to overwhelm the end result. In previous searching, abstracts for projects and research proposals from the 21M squared area of Cluin were excluded due to the sheer volume of the results that they represent. But now, with a simple check of a box, you can expand your search to include these resources, as shown on these images. Abstracts are sort of classified as a new type of results in the Cluin search engine, so now you can quickly jump to these hits if desired. And you should note that by default, abstracts are not included in the site-wide search. You actually have to check that box to include them as part of your results. With no questions, I'm going to move on to the next slide, slide number 17. Graphic Tech Direct. Just this year, a new graphical version of TechDirect was delivered to its 28,000-plus subscribers by email. Rather than the traditional plain text version, which tended to be a rather long email, as shown on the left, colorful images along with hyperlinks to various sections of this monthly newsletter were added to make it easier to read and quickly find pertinent information. Users that weren't able to view the graphic version automatically got the newsletter in standard plain text format without taking any additional steps. We've already gotten a lot of positive feedback about this change, but we'll always welcome more of it if you found that it was a nice transition for you. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 18, looking at seminar registration emails and screens. We've also attempted to improve our seminar registration confirmations. So we now include much more obvious links at the top of the screen, as well as in emails, with links to download the slides and cancel your registration. Those seem to be the most common things people needed to do, so we've added those buttons right from your confirmation page and email, as you can see on the image on slide 18. We also, as I mentioned, include those small electronic attachments as ICS files to directly add the registration information to your own electronic calendar. Moving on to the next slide, slide 19. We've also tried to improve Cluin by personalizing it and making contacts more readily accessible to our users. What we basically realized that we wanted to remind you that there are real living and breathing people that work behind Cluin. As the site stood in the past, there was almost no connection between information resources that were there to the subject matter experts that were actually in-house here at the Technology Innovation Program. And almost no one seemed to realize that in the About Cluin section from those left buttons, there was a subject matter listing, which would give you a laundry list of all of the people that are on our staff and all the areas that they specialize in. And what we tried to do is take that list and then merge that into our existing resources on Clue-In. So now, when you go to various areas of Clue-In, you'll see the point of contact from our staff right at the very top of the page if you have more questions on this issue, this area, or this document. And we include their basic contact information, email, and phone number. And we're hoping that we're going to better connect you, the public, with our staff by staying up front, you know, who you should be contacting with questions. And then second, we hope that we're going to solicit more questions and inquiries by offering you a name and a face to connect to, because I know sometimes people are hesitant to use a comment form because they don't know who it's going to and there's no one to reach out to. So we're hoping to make that easier for you and provide you with that personalized connection to our staff. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 20. Jumping back to that seminar confirmation screen and email improvement, to further help some of those participants that take part in our seminars for professional development or continuing education programs, we've created a seminar confirmation which is accessible after filling out feedback for a seminar. The confirmation includes specifics for the event, the name of the individual submitting the feedback for the event, as well as the date, time, and IP address from which the feedback was submitted. So this confirmation can also be emailed directly to the participant for their own records by checking the appropriate box at the top of the feedback form, which is, I think we've been arrow pointing to it on slide number 20. So this is your opportunity to get a confirmation that not only did you sit in, but you provided feedback, and here's your confirmation that you participated. Moving to the next slide, slide 21. This is a screenshot of one of those confirmation messages. So you can either print this and, or as I mentioned, have it emailed to you. But we also gave you the option to have multiple participants fill in the feedback form. So I know in a lot of cases people actually will share a line, which is what's happening today, and you guys will be able to click on the link which is there and actually each take a turn filling out that feedback form and have a confirmation email sent to each individual person that was participating on the one line. So I'm hoping that that will also improve the user experience for you guys who wind up sharing lines. Moving to the next slide, slide number 22, looking at content updates. Since the beginning, TIP has really worked hard to make sure that we could locate and publish new information resources on Clue-In. That's part of why we exist. We're an information resource. And this can take the form in adding new guidance, fact sheets, reports, to creating new information resources like a contaminant focus. There are far too many content updates for me to cover in today's seminar, and, you know, that's why we created TechDirect to send an email to you once a month letting you know the new stuff that we've added. And that's also why we created the RSS feed, so you guys would know exactly when we've added new material. So I encourage you to check those out if you really want to know more specific additions. But just generally speaking, in recent times, TIP has been trying to be more efficient in handling some of the work that we do with our limited funds. So we've consolidated a lot of our information resources onto Clue-In. Some of examples of this work, we used to maintain something called the Field Analytic Technology Encyclopedia, or FATE. And we actually took all of that content and information and moved it over to the characterization side of Clue-In. We also took the technology and vendor information, which used to be available on ReachIt, and actually consolidated that and collapsed it down when ReachIt was terminated, and actually put those abbreviated tables back on Clue-In in the vendor support area. And I know that we've gotten a lot of comments about the shutdown of ReachIt, and I do understand that it was a very valuable resource for a lot of our users, but we are actively working on something to replace ReachIt. So there will be new seminars and new updates like this one to talk about whatever solution we can come up with for the lack of ReachIt. It won't be as big or as powerful, but we will try to provide you with that same level of access, at least to vendors who offer particular technologies. But we will welcome additional comments and feedback as well, so feel free, if you're upset about the discontinuation of ReachIt, by all means, email me or feel free to supply those comments on the website, because we do collect that information. Moving to the next slide, slide number 23. Another content update, software and tools. Since Clue-In houses many different types of resources, ranging from publications, databases, online information, and videos, and knowing that you, our users, often look for particular types of resources like training videos, we've attempted to tag resources to let you quickly access the right information. It's visible in this new search engine, which links to types of resources from the search results along the top of the page. So you can look at web, you can look at documents, you can look at events, and it's all broken down in the search results. And with that same frame of mind, we created an area on Cluin, which is accessible from the left buttons, which lists all software and tools that are found within our website. And these tools range from optimization software like Maros to decision support tool like VSP. Right now, though, at this time, Cluin is only listing packages that are available free to the public, but we are welcoming suggestions for other tools to include, and in the future, we may be able to open up and look at other packages. Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 24, issue areas. Last year, a new type of page on Cluin called issue areas was created to rapidly group information resources for a particular topic of high interest. Oftentimes, the creation of a more detailed contaminant or technology focus can take some time and effort. But meanwhile, our staff already have access to several websites and documents that might be of interest to those looking into these new and emerging issues, like nanotechnology. So these pages or issue areas were put together as a first cut for future information resources on Cluin. And we've covered topics like DNAPLs, ecological revitalization, mining sites, nano, sediments, vapor intrusion, and wood treater sites. And we hope that depending on feedback from these particular areas, we'll then use these as a starting point to then develop more detailed information resources for the website. Moving to the next slide, slide number 25. We can take a break and talk about some of these updates. I know we have a small audience today, so if those of you who are participating by simulcast have any comments or could contribute anything, If you've noticed some of these changes, if you've used them or found them helpful, have they changed the way you're accessing information? You know, when we put the feed up, did you use it, and are you looking for feeds on other pages now? Or, you know, more important for me, you know, are there areas where Cluin is missing information and you find that we're falling short and you hope that we're going to focus our energies on developing a particular resource or looking into a topic? So if you can type up any comments or submit them now, that'd be great. And if not, you can always supply it to me at the end of the seminar with the feedback form. So if we don't have any particular comments or any need to carry on a discussion about some of these changes, we can move on to the next slide. Slide number 26, future directions of Cluin. Now that we've gone over some of these changes, I'm going to dive you right into the plans for the future. Many of the items that are listed on slide number 26, we've already started working on these areas, and we actually expect to have a number of them completed in the next month or so. But we're always looking for more input and ideas on other ways to improve the site, and that's why, again, I would encourage you guys to provide me comments or feedback and let me know what you think about some of what we're talking about today. So I'm going to look into each one of those issues in the following slides, starting on slide number 27. We're looking at and we're currently developing a site tour and possibly adding some more multimedia elements to Cluin. These two particularly proposed features will be designed to help new visitors to the site. We're looking at creating a site tour, which will be a short little 2 to 3 minute movie, which will basically walk our site visitors through the main areas of Cluin. So people will be able to click on it, play it, watch something, or watch the a tour or navigator actually walk into the different areas of Cluin and explain what types of resources are found where. And we're hoping that it'll explain the navigational structure to our new visitors so they'll understand what they can find in some of those various links on the left side. We're also hoping to add short audio clips to verbally describe sections of Cluin to just, again, bring more depth and multimedia to the website. And as I mentioned, we're working on these items right now, and we expect to have them available to the public this fall. So that's one thing to keep your eyes out for, the site tour and the audio clips. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 28, content additions and updates. Several areas of new and updated content are going to be made available on Cluin later this year. Some of this specific one, the newest one, is going to be an extensive contaminant focus, which was developed for DNAPLs, or dense non-aqueous phase liquids. Furthermore, we'll also be adding to the old fate materials, which were moved to Cluin's characterization section, with updates to the membrane interface probe write-up, immunoassay, fiber optic chemical sensors, and ground-penetrating radar technology descriptions. And as I mentioned, you know, we update the site with information every day, so we will continue our updates throughout the year, just like we're doing now with adding new events, publications, databases, and tools. And we would welcome your suggestions for particular resources if you think you know something that's of interest and should be added. Moving to the next slide, slide number 29. Looking at a suggestion that came in to actually add a new format of live deliveries on Cluin, similar to a radio or talk show. rather than following scripted presentations like I'm doing right now, we were considering bringing in a panel of experts that will be brought together by phone to briefly discuss an emerging issue and then answer questions from the audience. And this type of event we might actually be able to bring into chatting capabilities, which we do have, but we almost never use them. And actually it could kind of serve as one of those things where you just click on it, you start it, and you sit back and you listen to it like you would a radio show, and you can type up a question or pop that into the speakers and let them address the issue. But it won't be a formal training or seminar. It would be more casual. Moving to the next slide number 30, along the same lines of thought, our efforts, we're looking at focusing our management of Kluin in a more event-oriented basis. So we're looking at specifically structuring seminar series like the ones we hosted for nanotechnologies or sediment that would be arranged throughout the year. So it would be a series of seminars all focused around the same area. Kluin would probably offer monthly focuses that would target a particular issue on the spotlight of Kluin, as well as the seminars that we arranged for that month. And as I mentioned, we're talking about hosting routine What's New with Kluin. So it's not just that we post the information on the website and make it available to you. It's not just that we send it out in TechDirect so you get in a monthly newsletter telling you what we've added. And it's not just that you can subscribe to the RSS feed and see the updates as they're made, but you'll also have an opportunity to interact with people like myself and the staff here every few months to learn what we've done, and we can actually make it an event where we tell you and talk with you and interact about what we've done and get your feedback. So moving on to the next slide, slide number 31, I kind of mentioned this before, that we're looking to add more multimedia elements to Kluin. We're really trying to look for things that previously were really not ideal to share online simply because they were too big to stream, but nowadays with internet speed and connection, it's not that difficult. For instance, we're considering that Kluin could be used to house videos of technologies that are being used at a site, including animations for various remedial strategies. Really pushing for more images to be added to all areas of Kluin. Perhaps adding like interactive tools such as calculators that the EPA Office of Research and Development actually produces, which are found on the ORD website. We're looking at maybe adding more interactive forms and documents that can be filled out by site visitors, just to make it give more depth and provide more interaction. Moving to the next slide, slide number 32. This, again, is our chance to kind of talk about some of those changes and updates that we're planning for in the future. Did any of them seem like they might be helpful? Do you think some of them seem more interesting or more important? Do you think any of these changes are going to impact the way you access your information, or do you have other suggestions for what we should be focusing our energies on? If those of you who are participating by simulcast, if you want to type up any comments or questions at this time, I'd welcome that. And, of course, if not, you can always submit it later on at the end of the event using the feedback form, which I will read. We do all read our feedback at the end of each event. Okay, if there aren't any comments or questions that are going to come in now, let's move on to the next slide, slide number 33. Talking about future directions for our internet seminars, that's what we're using right now. Since some of you have made regular usage of our internet seminars many of you actually even hosted events with us in the past, I won't go into too much detail about our existing platform. But just in general terms, since the Technology Innovation Program began hosting Kluin internet seminars in 1999, our speakers have shared PowerPoint slides and related information using a very simple internet connection and telephone conference line. Our seminars are recorded and archived for replay and download later on. And at this point, we've hosted, I think we just crossed the 400 number. So we've hosted about 400 seminars and reached out to over 70,000 participants in the last 8 years. So we've had a great time over the last few years using what we use. Moving on to slide 34, talking about the platform that we use in a little bit more detail. Having the experience with this platform, there are certain advantages and disadvantages with the approach that we take. On the plus side, Kluin uses a very simple platform where large audiences can be reached over great distances at very low cost. Aside from Media Player or Real Player, there's no additional software that needs to be installed to participate in one of our events. It's very easy. It's all done online. All you need is a browser and a telephone or a computer speaker. But that being said, the platform expects each user to move themselves through the materials with a speaker's cue. And our speakers have no control to move the slides for participants. We have no way to draw, point, or annotate the slides, and are limited to sharing only static images, lacking any animations, videos, or those normal attention grabbers that people use in training. And furthermore, we can only host one event at a time on Clueing, reaching out to no more than about 250 ports between phone and simulcast lines. And since internet seminars are becoming increasingly popular, these limitations could become a problem for us in the near future. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 35, what we could do for future internet seminars. Because, again, the internet is really being widely used as a training vehicle in the present time, there are a lot of other platforms that you as a user may have actually used for other training events. And these are commercial tools that you can choose to buy or subscribe to, including things like WebEx, GoToMeeting, MS Live Meeting, Adobe Connect. And these tools offer a lot of options that are not available to us right now at Clueing. So I'm going to kind of talk about some of these features that are available on other platforms. And then just for you, the user, you know, have you used these tools? Were they useful for you? And would you like to see them available on Clueing seminars to really improve your interaction and learning experience? Moving on to slide 36, if you've never used WebEx or any of the tools that I mentioned previously, this is just a snapshot or screenshot of WebEx. For the most part, all of the commercial packages have the exact same features, though they appear a little bit differently on each tool. In this particular case, again, this is just WebEx. It's only for illustration. I'm not saying I prefer them over any of the other ones, but I just happened to grab this one. This particular guy, WebEx, has access to video feeds, a live list of participants, which is all part of one interface that you look at. There are slide annotation tools and a lot more. And I'm going to talk about some of these specific features on the next slide, on slide 37. Starting with chat feature. Chatting offers both participants and speakers the ability to type text-based communication during the event. Right now, Clueing allows for one-way chat where speakers can view comments submitted by the participants using a specialized question form. But the actual submitters, the participants, never see what happens to their question and can't get a response back by text from the speakers. Using, though, a true chat interface, speakers and moderators could actually acknowledge that a question has been received. Participants could share information without disrupting the seminar. And more specific information, such as relevant URLs, could be accurately and quickly shared during the session. And I'm sure many of you may have used this type of a tool in the form of AOL's Instant Messenger, Google Talk, or other web training platforms. So it can be quite helpful to really allow for the flow of an event. Slide control and annotation is pretty self-explanatory. The speakers will be able to control the movement of slides so that participants can view what the speaker chooses to show them. Speakers and moderators could also draw, highlight, and manipulate the slides with this feature, just like you might see with someone who has a laser pointer when you're in an in-person class. In some packages, participants are actually even given the power to annotate the slides as well. So you could put up a bar chart and ask people to indicate where they think the data point should fall. And all 20 people could mark where they think it goes. So you truly make it an interactive experience. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 38, some of the additional features we're looking at. Screen sharing, and that involves the live broadcast of a portion of the speaker's computer screen. The entire screen could be shared if desired. But this allows for participants to view any material that can be opened on the presenter's computer, including movies, model simulations, data tables, and more. And this could really greatly expand the types of training that's conducted on Clueing. Some of our seminars, when they focus on software applications, at this point, all we can do is offer screenshots of the particular application in various menus. But using a screen sharing version of a platform, we'd be able to actually let that speaker open up the software package and show everything exactly as they're using the tool to the participants. So it could really improve what we're able to do from a training perspective. Video feed, I think, again, that's self-explanatory. That will allow speakers and participants to share live images using webcams. These types of tools can really overcome the impersonal and distant impressions that you can get from internet seminars by presenting a virtual face-to-face meeting. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 39. This is a pretty important one for us, increasing capacity. This is an issue, and in this sense, capacity is loosely referring to the quantity and quality of our internet seminars. Capacity entails being able to provide more simulcast ports per seminar so that you won't get waitlisted. Right now, Clueing usually offers about 100 or fewer simulcast ports, but we may be even able to double that number in the future and permit more users to attend the event live. In addition, we're also looking at the audio quality that's offered to our simulcast participants and archive seminars to improve clarity. And then lastly, we're also exploring options that will permit us to host more events and allow for simultaneous seminars, so there's no longer the scheduling conflicts that we see sometimes when we're trying to bring in speakers. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 40. Again, this is your chance to talk about or comment on some of the things that I've mentioned as far as improvements for our internet seminars. When we think about Clueen and our training, would you like to see things like chat or slide control, screen sharing, video, being able to handle more people or host more seminars? Would you like to hear better audio? Would you like to get things like real-time polling involved? If any of those seem attractive or if they don't seem important to you, just feel free to go ahead and type something up and provide comments or ask questions if you have any. And as always, you'll have the opportunity to provide this type of feedback at the end of the event today. And since we've had no questions delaying us, I'm moving on to slide number 41, which is our final wrap-up slide, thanking you very much for your time and your attention today. And as I've said throughout the seminar, I want to remind you that we're looking for your specific responses to some of the issues that I discussed today. And I'd welcome and encourage you to fill out the feedback form, which is available following the link that's on the slide 41. There are also, as I mentioned, several resources and related documents included in the links to more resources on this page, things like RSS feed, fact sheet overview, and some links to some of our areas of Clueen that I mentioned that we've updated today. My contact information is also available on the slide. If you have any additional questions or comments, feel free to contact me or fill out that comment form, which is available on the top button on a very Clueen page, because that form goes right to myself and a few other staff here at the Technology Innovation Program. And we would welcome the opportunity to listen, to hear what you have to say, and work to continue to meet your information needs. So I'd like to thank everyone and hope that you all have a great afternoon.